Yes, Tanya.
I just wanted to share something with the congregation. I'm not one to stand up and do a lot of talking, but when John and Pauline requested the song, Mr. Close to Wapiti, it just came, kind of fits right in with what I've been led to read. Just this week when I was reading my Bible, it just kind of hit me really, and I just thought, I got to share this, and maybe somebody in that congregation would find this word and take heart. So if I may read this, Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone, my salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, I will never be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, which our God is our refuge.
Thanks, Tanya. Appreciate that. And it helps to actually address what I wanted to talk about this morning. It's easy for us to read scripture or to hear what people have to say and then just pass it off. As a matter of fact, in our modern society, we've come to the point, I believe, that we allow others to think for us, and then we just let it pass. Sometimes to the point that we don't even think about what they've placed before us. And so this morning, we didn't plan this. I didn't know she was going to do that. But she got up and said something that was important. And I don't want us to say, okay, that's done. Now I don't need to think about it. Because everything that goes on around us should encourage us to think some more. I believe that God has equipped and gifted each one of us for purposes. We usually talk about a purpose, and we think one at a time, and that's okay. But there are many purposes for each one of us. And many of us just never think about it. And you'll notice if you look in the bulletin, the title of the message is Think. And if you look around the building here, you see the little green sign over there. It says, then what? There's one in the back. There's one over here at the entranceway. There's one in the Sunday school room. They're around. And their purpose is to make us think. We're right here. We're right now. Then what? Tanya stood up and talked. She said something of worth, of importance. Then what? We have candidates that are running for office. And each time we hear them say something, do we just shut it off? Or do we say, then what? Do we think about it? Do we say, is this candidate an honest person who's going to stand up and do what's right in God's eyes to represent us using God's authority? Do we think about that? The things that happen in our life, the habits that we develop or don't develop. Let me ask you, why did you follow whichever path you followed? How many of our children, as they're growing up, say, yep, I'm going to be a drug addict. That's what I want to be. Or, I want to spend time in jail. I think that everybody ought to do that. I aspire to that. On the other side, how many say, I want to be a success in business? And there's a lot that never even think of that either. Or I want to be a successful father or mother. How many of our children, how many of you grew up thinking about how am I going to whatever? And I don't say this to bawl anybody out, because this is our American way of life. We even watch our shows on TV, and the plot flows past us, and we just don't think about it. And I like to watch these CSI and all the evidence-based shows, you know. And they'll say, well, here's a clue. And then they'll jump to a conclusion, and they'll base their case on that. And Connie and I'll sit there sometimes and say, wait a minute. That doesn't necessarily mean that this happened. But most of us just take the word of the plot and just follow it through, and we don't think. And I think we do that in our lives now too. And in our politics right now, we're waiting for people to tell us what to think. And so when we get around to the primaries and we get around to the elections, are you going to think for yourself and say, I think that God wants me to do this. He wants us to elect this candidate because, and we can lay out our reasonings for doing that. Now, I would like to really spend a lot of time on teaching classes on how to think and how to logic things out and how to develop this progression of, if I do this, that will cause this, which will cause this, and so on. I enjoy that kind of thing. One of my favorite pastimes is building spreadsheets so that I can build these processes, and I put something in here and it makes all of these other things happen, and I know it's going to happen. To me, that's a challenge, and I enjoy doing that more than any game. And I love to teach someone how to do things, because I can see that if we do this and we teach this lesson, that will allow this next step to happen, which will allow that next step to happen, and so on. But we don't have enough time in our once a week messages to spend a lot of time on those particular lessons. Here, we try to go to the scripture and teach what God wants us to learn. And I would hope that we go home or we get together in other times to fine-tune all of these other things that we can learn and do. But when I say that God wants us to think, I believe that that's scriptural. I believe that God wants us to pay attention and to use the mind that he gave us to figure things out. Now, let me give you a little example. Every year in the fall, the leaves fall off the trees in my yard, and they fall on the top of the house, and then they filter down into the gutter of the house. And they can clog up the gutter. And then if we get snow that melts and so on, and the gutter is clogged up, we might have an overflow in a particular spot over a sidewalk. And so then we get ice on that sidewalk. And so now if I happen to be walking across that ice on a Sunday morning and I'm not careful and I fall and I break my arm, Kenny's going to have to preach. Well, I guess we don't want to do that. Well, or maybe as Connie makes her way down here, she falls, and she cracks her head on the pavement. And she spends some time doing whatever's going to happen then. And I have to cook for 2 weeks. Or what if the FedEx man comes and slips on that ice and falls and breaks this delicate thing that I'd ordered. Or maybe he breaks an arm or leg and he can't work, and so he can't pay his phone bill and he can't pay his utility bill, and his wife gets angry and she leaves with the kids. Because I didn't clean out the gutter. Now, the object of the story isn't to place blame on me for not cleaning out the gutter or for making a conscious decision to say, no, it's not going to be that bad or whatever. The point is that this could happen. And then I ask the question, could it be that we keep it from happening? And the answer, of course, is yes. So how could we keep these things from happening? How can we keep Kenny out of the pulpit? Or me out of the kitchen? Or whatever? Well, there's a number of things we can do. I could clean out the gutters. We could cut down all the trees so we don't have leaves in the gutters. We could take off the gutters so that what comes off the roof is spread for the whole length and we don't have a single icy spot. We could put up signs by the icy spot saying, be careful. We could rope it off so nobody can go there. Of course, somebody might go under the rope or not read the sign. We could cover the ice with salt or with sand. We could cancel church all winter. Maybe we wouldn't order anything from FedEx during the winter. Or maybe I just don't let Connie go out of the house when it's icy. Okay. There's your example. We have cause and effect. We don't even normally think about those things. But if we stop and think about them, we can see that these things could happen. Now, I don't want you to go all the way to the other side and get lost in all of the possibilities, because some people do that. And they never get anything done because they're always caught up in, I can't do it because. But my point is, think. Our first scripture is in Romans 14. Just a short little passage. It says this. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. God blessed you with a brain. And he said, use it. Eve used her brain. She made a decision. We all know about it. We all live under that. And you, do you make a decision? Or not? Now, if I said I didn't clean out the eavesdrops and one of these things happened, I would be right when I say, I didn't do anything. Why are you blaming me? Of course I didn't do anything. I didn't even think. And if I had thought, maybe I would have done something. Then again, I may have weighed the pros and the cons and decided the same thing. But not doing it is a decision. And so how many not decisions do we make on a day-to-day basis? And we just default to what somebody else has placed before us. If God gives us the ability to choose between right and wrong, then we have to choose between right and wrong. And then we have to choose to figure out the difference between right and wrong. And that's our challenge in our political situation. I'd like to go to a parable that Jesus told. This is found in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. The kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey, who has called his servants, and he entrusted his wealth to them, and to one he gave 5 bags of gold, In the, some other versions, it's talents. So this is the parable of the talents. And to another, two bags, and to another, one bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained five bags more. So also the one with two bags of gold gained two more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, and he settled accounts with them. And the man who had received five bags of gold brought another five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold, and see, I have gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown, and I gather where I had not reaped, or scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, let's start at the end of that. What now is the situation of that third servant? Well, he's in bad shape. He's a failure. He's living in poverty. He's lonely. He's living in the worst part of town or the worst neighborhood possible. It says weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's lost all respect. He's considered worthless, incapable of success. And why? This servant had every advantage. The master gave to him what he was capable of handling, just like he did to two others, but unlike all the other servants. So this third servant was given preferential treatment over all these other ones. Tremendous opportunity. And what did he do? He threw it away. Either he decided not to do something, which it sounds like it was, or he didn't bother to decide to do well with it. Either way, he made a decision to throw away all the assets and the opportunity, the tools that were given to him in favor of doing nothing. And then you say, why did the master punish him? Well, the master didn't punish him. All the master did was put him back where he came from. But now they're weeping and they're saying, why didn't I take advantage of that? Why do I have it so bad? Well, duh. You know, when you look at it from that perspective, it's a no-brainer, right? So now, back to these two principles. God has equipped and has expectations for each of us. And so, let me just list some of the things that are in God's bag of gold that he entrusts to us to use for his benefit and for ours. He gave you a brain to figure things out. He gave you a body that you can work with. He gave you schools to teach. He gave you a church to support and to build a rich spiritual environment. He gave us here in Winnebago beautiful facilities Wonderful programs to help us. Freedom to go to work or not. Freedom to choose our own leaders and governmental officials. Friends to support us. Family to raise us. What more could we ask for? Tremendous opportunity. If you live in Winnebago and you are a member of this tribe, you have the potential to live in a paradise on earth because of all the blessings and opportunities that God has given us. Now, the second principle is that God looks at us, His people. The people sitting here who consider themselves to be Christians, the body of Christ. What expectations does He have of us as we deal with those other people who are out there weeping and gnashing their teeth? You see, He has also given us a bag of gold. And let's take a look at what's in our bag of gold. Again, there's a brain to figure out what God is calling you to do and how to do it. And He's given us time to spend with others. He's given us health to varying degrees so that we can go about the business of helping others. And for some of us that don't have the physical strength and health, He's given us the opportunity to pray for others and to talk to them and to encourage them and sometimes just to be with them. Sometimes not even to say a word, but just spend time. Some of us He's given money so that we can help them out. Some of us He's given a vehicle that we can give them a ride where they need it. Or perhaps extra food or extra clothing. Has He given you a loving heart that can care for other people? What about experiences or knowledge or education? I was talking to a fellow the other day. He says, I want to do what God wants me to do. And I said, and you can go where I can't, because people know what you've been through. They're going to listen to you, not to me. You see, those things that God has given you as experiences are actually gold in your bag. And God will put those opportunities in front of you. So, most of us can talk all day about something. The talk is cheap. Unless, of course, you need a phone subscription that you pay by the minute. And we talk and we talk and we talk and we never do. The first step of doing is thinking. Use that brain that God gave you. Consider the possibilities. Consider the ramifications. What each thing will cause to happen. I'd like to finish with a couple of verses from 1 Peter 4. It says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. As one who serves, serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God, we are here before You. You've given us opportunity. You filled our bag with gold and said, go invest it. And so, Lord, help us Help us to do your will, to invest what you've given us for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.